Variety Radio.
Welcome to Two Talk, everybody. I'm your host, Dr. Doug Heller, and this is I'm along with my co-host, Dr. Ken Versman, where we talk about the tooth, the whole tooth, and nothing but the tooth. Tonight, Kenny, we got an awesome guest. I'm really excited to hear what Deborah has to say. I've known her for quite a long time, and you know, we work with a lot of different dentists throughout the state, and I can tell you with total 100% confidence, I don't think anybody has a more devoted group of patients than Deborah. And so I'm really excited to hear what she has to say, how she creates that level of devotion, and maybe she can give us some tips as how we can create that as well. So tonight's program should be really great.
Doug, I have to agree with you. I am as excited as you are, maybe even more so. Not only does she have a devoted group of patients, but this lady is maybe one of or the finest dentists in the entire state of Colorado.
Yeah, she does an awesome, awesome job. And on top of that, her hobbies are pretty interesting. So we may get into some of that with her as well. I know Deborah's climbed every 14er in the state. Not many people can say that.
I didn't know that. That's amazing.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, she's one of those sickos. So we'll find out what really makes her tick and why, you know, just kind of what drives this gal. So it'll be exciting. Anyhow, a little bit about her before we get into it is Dr. Deeg was born and raised in Boulder, Colorado, home of my alma mater, so we like that. And she went to the University School of Dentistry in 1982, and she practices general dentistry with an emphasis on dental implants and cosmetic dentistry. And I will tell you, she does really a fantastic job of both of those. She's a member of the American Dental Association, the Metropolitan Denver Dental Association, and the Academy of Operative Dentistry, as well as a charter member of the Centennial Dental Study Club and a member of the Spear Dental Study Club. Also, if that isn't enough, she's a part-time faculty member at the CU School of Dentistry, and she practices in Aurora, Colorado with her brother, Dr. Miles Deeg, and she lives currently in Conifer, Colorado. I think that's going to be where she always decides to live. She really loves the outdoors, and she's there with her husband, Fred, and their two dogs, Echo, and Jasper. So with that, we welcome Dr. Deeg to the program. So, Deborah, thank you for joining us tonight. It's really a pleasure to have you here.
Thank you so much, Doug. Thank you, Ken. It's a pleasure to be here.
Yeah, no, we're excited to hear the how-tos of running this dental practice and how you get people so devoted to everything that you do. I mean, I think it's really a tribute to yourself and to what you've done. I know, you know, in good times and bad times, whatever Dr. Deeg says goes. So, you know, people just flock to you. So we're anxious to hear how that happens.
We really are, Deborah, and I also want to thank you for being here tonight. It's such a pleasure to have you join our show, and for our listening audience, they're going to get an opportunity to hear what quality dentistry is all about. Why don't we start by asking you, how and when did you first establish your practice here in the Denver area?
Well, I graduated from the CU School of Dentistry in 1982. And at that time, there just were not many women in dentistry. You know, there were only five other women in my class. And one of those women, Dr. Susiando, asked me if I would like to be her dental partner. And I said, absolutely. And it was truly the best decision I ever made. We found an office building in Aurora on Hamden and Chambers, but no bank would give us a loan. No bank in Denver would take a chance on two young girls who had just graduated from dental school and had a huge amount of student debt. Probably 10 banks, at least, turned us down. And finally, Women's Bank in downtown Denver took a chance on two women and gave us a loan to start our practice. But then that was just half the problem, because we had a loan and we had a space, but we didn't have a patient. We didn't have one patient. So we had 10,000 bright orange flyers printed up that said, "Brighten your smile. Our new dental office is open and we would like to meet you." And Susie and her family and my family went door to door and delivered every single one of those flyers. And it worked. First we had one patient, and then we had 10, then we had blocks of patients, and then we had 10,000 more bright orange flyers printed up, and we delivered those as well. And 32 years later, patients are still coming to see us.
Okay, Kenny, I wrote that down. It's 10,000 bright orange flyers we got
to
do.
We need to find out where we can print those. And Doug, you will take them door to door.
Yeah, well, at least one or two doors.
Yeah.
I mean, that takes a lot of energy, but that's kind of an exciting start.
It was an exciting start, and it was amazing. We were so delighted and thrilled to have that first patient, and then it just started from there. And even now, even today, patients will come in and they'll recall, you know, getting that orange flyer or seeing us walk up and down their block, slipping those orange flyers into their screen door.
I mean, that really was history in the making, Deborah, because today, for our listeners, just so they know, typically about 50% of the graduating class in dentistry is female.
Absolutely.
But back in your time, it was much more difficult, and boy, do I give you a lot of credit. I really admire your ability to go through those obstacles. Maybe you can tell us a little bit about some of the challenges just in school itself.
And before you do that, I want to know what back in your time really means.
Back in your time really means 1978 to 1982. But I will say that going to the CU School of Dentistry was incredible. There was no discrimination against women whatsoever. I had wonderful instructors and an amazing education. I honestly can say that no one received a finer dental education than I did. And it wasn't the educational environment that was difficult, although you were very visible. When there are only five women in your class, everyone knows when you are there or when you aren't there. It was afterward when people were afraid to take a chance on us.
What was the first graduating class at CU? Was that was pretty close to then, wasn't it?
It was. I think the first graduating class was 1977. Okay. And in that class, there was one woman. There was a token woman, Irene Holloman. And she started the trend. And now, of course, there are classes where there are actually more women than men.
Yeah.
In my brother's class, it was half and half.
Yeah. It's
you mentioned the student debt. That's a real passion of mine. Today, and our listeners, I hope you're sitting down, ladies and gentlemen, today it is not unusual for a dental graduate to come out of dental school with over $600,000 of debt. What a burden that is, and what an obstacle it is to create not only a practice, but to be able to create an environment where you can treat people the way you, in fact, would like to be treated. Now, I know that it was probably about 6-7 years later that your brother graduated from dental school.
It's true. My brother Miles graduated in 1988, and then he joined Dr. Ondo and myself as a partner in 1989. That was just terrific. It's wonderful to have partners. It's wonderful to have people to bounce ideas off, to bounce treatment plans off. To discuss treatment. And it's wonderful to have someone who sees treatment in a different light, to have a different vision. I've been extremely lucky to have two terrific partners. Miles and I take different vacation weeks. He's on vacation this week. We take different days off so that our office is always open 5 days a week. We take different insurance plans so that if one of his patients loses insurance, there's a chance that I will accept it. If one of my patients loses their insurance, there's a chance that he will accept it. But the best part of practicing with my brother is that we still like to show off for each other. I just love to show him a beautiful case, to show him something that turned out just great. And it won't be very long after that he shows me something that he's just so proud of. I really am lucky to practice with him.
Yeah, and he's a talented dentist as well. So, you know, the Deegs are doing a great job of their craft, so to speak.
Before we go much further, Deborah, why don't you tell us where your practice is located?
Oh, my practice is located in Aurora, Colorado, on very close to the corner of Hamden and Chambers. And we've been in that same building for 32 years. The kids who were 3 years old and 5 years old and 10 years old when we started are now bringing their kids to see me. It's been an amazing journey. I've treated an entire generation of teeth.
How about phone number?
Oh, our phone number, 303-690-6662.
And I dare to ask, but I'm going to ask you anyhow. Website?
I'm so sorry to say, I don't have a website.
There you have it, folks, the last of the non-website dentists.
You know what that indicates, Doug?
She doesn't need it.
She doesn't need a website. She's That's very right. successful without it, which That's is... Right. An amazing testament in this day and age.
Absolutely.
So in your practice, what types of patients do you try to treat?
We have a general practice, which means that we treat children, teens, adults, and our seniors. We start our little kiddos when they're just three, and with their first exam and cleaning, and no matter what happens, no matter how they behave, we call it a happy visit, and we just make sure that they have a great first experience. And then we continue to treat those children through their teen years when they're in their braces. And for our adults, we do provide exams and cleanings, fillings, crowns, root canals, extractions, dentures, veneers, implants, and bleaching. So we have a lot of variety in our patients and in our practice, which really keeps it fun and interesting.
That's great. I'm going to advise our listeners to get a pencil and piece of paper ready because we are going to give you our call-in number. So please get ready for that. But before we do that, so you have time to gather those materials, we're going to continue our interview with Dr. Deeg. So when a new patient comes to see you, patients come in to a new doctor's office. It doesn't have to be dentistry, but especially in dentistry, there's a lot of anxiety. What is the first step that a patient takes to become a member of your practice?
Our first step is our initial exam, and we always take a full mouth series of x-rays. And then we spend a full hour with every new patient for their initial exam.
Now, wait, you said an hour.
An hour.
Okay, so you're kind of glossing over that, like that's pretty normal. But I can tell you from our experience that that is a lot more than just a typical, hey, come on in, let's do a quick exam. I mean, to spend an hour with a new person, you're really getting down to the nitty-gritty and kind of trying to figure out not just kind of, hey, what's the immediate problem? What's going to be the long-term problem? I mean, it's pretty involved.
Well,
so don't skip over it like this hour exam is usual, because that's not.
Right. And I do think that it's the thing that we do best. I think it is the thing that our office excels at. We take a full mouth series of x-rays, and then we have the patient look at those x-rays with us before we look in their mouth so that together we can talk about their bone, their nerves, their teeth. For many patients, this is the first time that they've ever seen their own x-rays and that they've ever talked about their own x-rays. And then we go to the mouth and we continue our exam. We do an oral cancer exam and a complete head and neck exam. We take a look at the patient's jaw, their temporomandibular joint. We check every single tooth for receding gums, for mobility, for any evidence of gum disease. We then chart the existing restorations or fillings or crowns. And then we use a transilluminating light as well as this wonderful little laser cavity detector to look for any evidence of decay. And we chart broken teeth, missing teeth, and defective fillings and crowns. And then we make up a treatment plan for the patient. And for many patients, this is the first time that a comprehensive plan regarding their teeth and gums has ever been presented to them. So many patients experience what we call patchwork dentistry. They break a tooth and they go in and they have a filling, or they have pain and they go in and they have a root canal, but they never understand the process and the progress that can be made if they have a complete treatment plan that will explain and define the treatment that they will need to be healthy in their teeth and gums. So when our initial exam is completed, our patients get it. They know and understand, number one, what they need. They understand why they need it. They understand what their treatment options are, how many appointments they'll need, what it will cost, and then what their insurance will cover. And at the end of their exam, most patients really do say, wow, this is the most thorough dental exam I have ever had. And right then and there, we have a patient for life.
Yeah, I mean, I've been on the other end of some of your exams because I've had the opportunity to treat some of those patients. And they always come very, very well informed. So, you know, I think that if I could teach that type of examination process to other dentists, that sure would make our life a lot easier. I mean, it's really a treat. And it's really a treat because the patient benefits the most of all of that. And they come informed and ready to kind of take care of their problems. And that's not really typical of a lot of different offices. So it's unique and it's special. And really, the patients really benefit the most. So it's from our end, being kind of one of the specialists that get the opportunity to work with you, it just makes our life easier as well. So
it's a fantastic approach, and I'm sure your patients truly value that time spent. That's pretty amazing. So before I give out our call-in numbers, Deborah, why don't you give us your phone number so if patients want to contact your office, they'll know how to reach you.
Oh, sure. It's 303-690-6662.
Great. Thank you. And ladies and gentlemen out there listening, if you would like to call in and talk to Dr. Deeg, our local Denver number is 303-800-4366. I'll repeat. 303-800-4366. And if you're calling from the outlying areas or in another state, please call us at 888-321-7234. We'd love to hear from you, and I know Dr. Deeg would love to hear from you.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I may have to go home and call in myself, Kenny.
I know.
So, Deborah, going back to the CU days.
Yes.
You told us there are five women in your class. How many are still practicing, or do you even know that?
I would say that at least four of those women are still practicing. My partner, Susie, has retired. And when we were in school, the oldest person in our class was a woman, and her name was Marilyn Rowe. And I believe that Marilyn has retired as well, but I think that at least three of us.
And are they all local as well?
Yes, they
really?
Are.
Mm-hmm. That's pretty interesting. Yeah. I mean, I know some of the other guys that have been around for a while. You know, we were talking about some other dentists earlier tonight, and yeah, they're all doing great.
So yes.
And I think that was a special time to be at CU.
Oh,
well.
It was remarkable. There were only 25 students in our class. There weren't 50 or 75 or 100. There were 25. And when you have that type of individual attention, you really, really, really get a great education.
Yeah, and I know back then they were pulling people in from the part-time, you know, from the community to teach part-time. So you were getting a lot of great clinical experience.
Absolutely.
Well, academic experience.
And it was an amazing and wonderful education.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
And if I remember right, your class size was relatively small as compared to today.
25.
What a great learning environment.
Absolutely.
That's fantastic.
Today, because I teach there still, they're going up to 80 students per class. So that's a big difference. So, in any event, Kenny, we'll talk to Deborah on the other end of this commercial, and we'll come back to Tooth Talk. And again, our guest tonight, Dr. Deborah Deeg of Aurora, 303-690-6662. Thank you.
Falling, yes, I am falling, and she keeps calling me back again. I have never known the like of this. I've been alone, and I have missed things and kept out of sight. But other girls were never quite like.
There is no easy way to face criminal charges. The Frankfurt Law Office can help. With over 20 years of collective experience, the Frankfurt Law Office is capable of handling any legal situation. Foundation. Contact them today for a free confidential consultation at 303-830-0090. That's 303-830-0090. Or visit them at frankfurtlawoffices.com. When the long arm of the law reaches out for you, fight back with the Frankfurt Law Office.
Hello, this is Sean Hakes with Velocity Radio. If you're a business owner with a particular expertise, then hosting your own radio show at Velocity Radio is the chance to become the trusted expert in your field. Our state-of-the-art studios are located in Castle Rock, Colorado, so drop on by for a tour anytime. Velocity Radio hosts enjoy a dedicated board op production team and a generous revenue share that will allow you to monetize your show while delivering your message to potential customers. To learn more about becoming a Velocity Radio host, call me today at 720-940-9056 or email me at sean@velocityradio.fm.
Parker Trailers, from entry-level trailers to flatbeds, cargo, and horse trailers, plus all your parts and service needs, now with two locations in Parker off Parker Road and now open at the Pikes Peak International Speedway in Fountain. Visit parkertrailers.com for product information and details. This alert just came in. This special announcement is for business owners and leaders of organizations who've been waiting for the right time to build. General Steel has made it impossible to wait any longer with rock-bottom prices that could save you thousands. That's right. General Steel, America's leader in pre-engineered structures, is offering buildings at prices you will never see again. Don't miss these prices. A 50 by 100 for under $30,000. You heard right. That's 5,000 square feet under $30,000. Manufacturers, if you need a larger building, try a 100 by 100 commercial building for $129,000. You can't afford to rent with these prices. Imagine a 70 by 100 foot church building for under $69,000. With the economy improving and interest rates still at historic lows, you can't afford to wait. So call 888-98-STEEL. Lock in your price now. Take delivery in spring. Call 888-98-STEEL. That's 888-987-8335.
This is Velocity Radio.
Welcome back to Tooth Talk, where we talk about the tooth, the whole tooth, and nothing but the tooth. I'm your host, Dr. Doug Heller, along with my co-host, Dr. Ken Versman. We're two periodontists in Aurora, www.periodontalhealth.com. We're located 2900 South Peoria Street. And tonight we have a very, very special guest, Kenny, one of my favorite dentists in all of Colorado, Dr. Deborah Deeg, who we've been talking to a little bit about how she got her practice started and how she kind of kept it going and built it from the ground up back in graduating at 1982. So we'll kind of get back a little bit into that and talk a little bit about kind of maybe where dentistry's taken her, what's new in your practice from a technological standpoint, or how you've seen dentistry change, some of those kind of things.
But before we do that, Doug, I don't want to gloss over what she talked about prior to our break, and that was that new patient examination. You know, that is very, very special. And so I'd like to maybe get a little history, Deb, on how that evolved. Is that the type of exam you did from day one, or did the process sort of evolve into an environment where you really reached for and achieved the ideal new patient entry?
I think that I always appreciate having things explained to me. I'm a visual person, and I think when I was treated as a child, no one explained anything to me. That's what made it scary. That's what made it intimidating. And so I always thought that if we could explain things, show people, help them to understand, really what they need, then it's much less frightening. And I have always, we always did a complete exam. It certainly is longer than most people's exam. And when people call up for their appointment and they hear that they're going to be there for a half an hour for their x-rays and then an hour for their exam, they think, oh my goodness, what could possibly take that long? But a thorough exam does take that long. And once you have that, then you have the tools as a patient to decide what type of treatment that you want, to decide the course of treatment that you want to pursue. Without that information, you're just blind.
So if I was coming into the office and a 12-year-old kid. Am I getting that same type of an exam?
No, our initial exam that we take an hour for is for our adults, and usually those adults are 21 and over. We take a full mass series of x-rays and do the hour exam.
Yeah, that's incredible. And they're probably just blown away.
They are. And like I said, even if they move, or even if they decide not to choose treatment in our office, or even if they don't accept if we don't accept their insurance, they have a treatment plan in hand that they can look at and understand and pursue if they want to.
So as your career has flourished, and it has flourished extremely well due to the talent and to also, I would add, to your personality, as you look back, what's the one thing that you think has changed the most in dentistry today?
Oh, by far and away, implant dentistry. When we discovered that the cells that form bone, our osteoblasts, can actually grow to and on and through titanium, it really changed dentistry forever. When I graduated from dental school, the implants that we were using were not titanium, and they had a very, very high failure rate. But now implants are state-of-the-art and are very, very successful. And, you know, Ken, I'm in the business of saving teeth every single day of my life. But when we cannot save a tooth, implants provide so many great options for treatment. Best thing that they do is that they keep a single tooth problem a single tooth problem. In the past, when a tooth was lost, we often had to crown or drill down the adjacent teeth and place a bridge, which was then cemented. But often those teeth that were part of the bridge were healthy teeth. They didn't have to be crowned. They didn't have to be drilled down. And it set up problems for the future. So it's wonderful to be able to just keep a single tooth problem a single tooth problem. And one of the great things about an implant is that it absolutely cannot decay. And the chance of fracture is very remote. So I always tell my patients that in the short run, implant dentistry is very expensive. In the long run, it's the least expensive dentistry they can ever choose because the chance of failure is so slim.
That's pretty neat. So let's be clear. Do you place your own dental implants?
Oh, no. No, no. You place my dental implants. And I'm so lucky to have both you and Doug. But we do restore the dental implants. There's a surgical component to implant dentistry, and we choose our surgeons very carefully. And then there's a restorative component to it. My brother and I, are involved in the restorative component, meaning that we place the crown or the bridge or the bridges on top of the implants that you and Doug place.
So it's truly a team effort, and certainly something that Doug and I believe in very, very strongly. But it's great when someone like yourself has that same kind of passion.
Absolutely. You know, you mentioned also the evolution of implant dentistry, going from, you know, those early period of implants where it may not have integrated with the same level of success. I would agree with you 100%. I think it's probably one of the neatest things that we have to offer our patients, but not just because of what it does, but because of how predictable they have become. You know, it's no longer a 70-80% success rate typically.
Oh no.
It's much, much higher than
our
that.
Success, and that's why I feel so confident referring a patient for an implant and saying, you know what, this will probably be the last restoration you will ever need on that tooth. I feel very confident about our implants.
Yeah, I agree. But again, I think it goes back to what you said even prior to the implant. If the teeth are good, that's really your preference.
Oh,
right,
absolutely. Often a patient will come in and they have a large filling or a defective filling or an area of decay, and it's deep, and we have to decide what to do with that tooth. And if there's adequate tooth structure remaining, and if we have good bone, then my choice is always to save the tooth. Even if the decay has gone to the nerve and we have to do a root canal on that tooth, If we can save the tooth with adequate tooth structure and good bone, then my preference is to save the tooth. But we don't always have that option. And when we've lost too much tooth structure or we have lost too much bone, then we have a wonderful alternative. We have an option, and that option is an implant.
Yeah. And I think just to be practical at all times makes the most sense.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And so, you know, talking a little bit about implants and who is a candidate for implants, tell us a little bit about kind of who maybe the ideal candidate is, or maybe the opposite. Who wouldn't be a good candidate? What ages, what, you know, child, teenager, adult, something like that?
Sure. Well, we start thinking about implants even from a very young age. And, you know, we're always so sad when a little kiddo loses a permanent tooth. And usually this occurs because of a traumatic accident. And believe me, we have seen it all. Bikes and scooters and trampolines and hockey sticks and the edge of a swimming pool can all result in the loss of a permanent tooth. And usually that loss is much harder on the mom and dad than it is on the child. And the mom will come in and say, let's just put an implant in. But we can't. It's important to wait until the child has stopped growing and the jawbone has stopped growing before we place the implant. And usually this is about age 18 in girls and age 21 in boys. But it does absolutely change the way we think about how that tooth will be restored in the future. We'll often place a bonded acrylic tooth, or if the natural tooth can be found or saved, we can bond that fragment in place. And again, it's just really wonderful to not have to cut down the adjacent teeth. And then for our teenagers, one of the greatest things about implants is has to do with orthodontics. Many teenagers are actually missing the two teeth that are on the side of their two front teeth called lateral incisors. And our orthodontists used to bring the large cuspids next to those teeth into place, cuspids or eye teeth, to close that gap. And the smile never looked right. It never looked quite right because the cuspids don't belong there. They're too big. They're too wide. And now what we do is we ask our orthodontists to preserve that space. And then we know that in the future, after that teenager has stopped growing, that we would place an implant there. And the result is a beautiful, natural-looking smile. For adults, the beauty for adults is that we can keep the problem, a single-tooth problem, if it's a single tooth that's lost. If we have a larger gap and we need to place more than one implant, it's wonderful because we know that one end of that bridge will not decay. We have a lot of options in terms of implants with adults, and it's just an incredible opportunity for people to save their teeth, actually to have their teeth back.
Right.
How about, Deb, for the patient who's lost their teeth?
Oh, yes.
Their teeth.
Yeah, all their teeth. So now they don't have any more of their real teeth. They're wearing their dentures. Is there an opportunity for implants to play a role in their treatment?
This is one of the most rewarding areas in dentistry for me because so often a patient who wears dentures is really miserable. Their dentures are loose, or their dentures are painful, or they're limited to chewing very soft food. And for many patients, their lower denture is the biggest problem, and we do have several solutions. And we can ask you, our periodontist, to place either two or four implants on that lower arch. And then we attach a tiny ball to the top of that implant, and then we create a stop for that lower denture so that lower denture just snaps over those implants. And honest to God, it's like having four-wheel drive for your denture. It is a wonderful, it's a gift for these patients, and they're so appreciative. Our seniors are so appreciative to have a stable denture.
I like that, a four-wheel drive. And you don't need snow tires either, do you?
No, you don't.
Well, I can tell you that I think it does change their lives with those type of treatments because it's that same patient that was afraid to go out, afraid to go to social events, afraid that their dentures weren't going to be retentive or that the food they're eating was going to get underneath them. And it gives them that stability and the confidence to kind of get on with their life and do the things that either they used to do before they lost their teeth, or give them the confidence to go out and kind of be that person that they've always been. So
Absolutely. And, you know, just things that come so naturally to us, like being able to go swimming. You know, people who would be afraid to lose their denture in the pool, or to throw your head back and to laugh and to wonder not whether or not your denture is going to fall out, or just to be able to taste wine on your palate is, you know, is a wonderful thing. And implants can really change lives, especially for our seniors.
You know, Doug, Dr. Deeg has also established a reputation. She's renowned for her cosmetic dentistry. So I'd like to explore that topic with her.
Yeah. And the, you know, Kenny, not only do we want to explore it, but we may have some listeners that want to explore it. So why don't you give the call-in number again?
Great. I'd love to do that. So for those who are local to the Denver area, please call in and we'll try and answer your questions at 303-800-4366. And if you're out in the outlying areas or in another state, please call us toll-free at 888-321-7234.
Cool. So cosmetic dentistry, what's it all about, Deborah?
Oh, it's fun. It really is a fun part of dentistry. And we have very conservative options, such as bleaching, to improve the color or brightness of teeth. And we also offer veneers, which are very thin restorations, which require very little and in some cases no removal of tooth structure. And veneers can be used to change the color or the length or the width or the shape of teeth very conservatively. And our new materials have really made a huge difference, a huge impact on dentistry. The materials we can use now are all ceramic, meaning that there is no metal in the crown and or the veneer. And this means no gray line at the gum line and a crown that reflects light more like a natural tooth. So it's beautiful.
So if I had a space between my two front teeth, that would be an indication maybe for something like that.
Absolutely. A space between your two front teeth, if your teeth were healthy, would be an absolutely beautiful application for either bonding of acrylic or for veneers. If those teeth were broken down, badly broken down, or had large fillings, or had a crown on them before, then perhaps a veneer or a crown would be a better choice. But we can definitely make improvement in people's appearance.
But I don't want the two of you to simplify this,
right,
because
right.
There are veneers and there are veneers and there are crowns and there are crowns. And it takes a lot of training, education, experience to not only make them look pretty, but for them to fit so that the tissues will remain healthy. I wonder if you'd comment on that a little bit for our listeners.
Absolutely. You know, you have to be a perfectionist in dentistry. You have to always be striving for perfection. And sometimes it involves using our specialists. And in dentistry, one of the things that I think we forget about, or that patients forget about, is how we can use you to improve the smile, how we can use you to remove gum tissue if when they smile they have what's called a gummy smile. Just that procedure that you perform for us, where you actually remove tissue and allow the teeth to appear longer and to be less gummy, makes a huge difference. Using a terrific lab to fabricate our crowns and veneers is really important. You can't negate the importance of not only the specialists that you work with, but also your team. If you have a wonderful lab and they're interested in providing a beautiful quality restoration, it helps so much when you're at the cementation procedure. And you just have to pay attention to detail.
How is a patient going to know that, though? How will the patient know who they can go to? They'll pay the same price generally no matter where they go. But one area they may get the highest of quality, in another area they may not. What advice would you have for our listening audience?
I wish I had my magic wand where I could just say, this is how you know. But I think it just, if you just go all the way back to what you were talking about, Kenny, if you go back to the initial exam, if you have a dentist who's really taking the time and the effort and the energy to educate you and to talk to you about the procedures that will make a difference in your smile, functionally and aesthetically, there's a pretty darn good chance that dentist will do a great job for you.
And in some respects, it's not even that simple. I mean, it's not like you came out of dental school and was the queen of the veneer, okay? I mean, you really are kind of simplified. You spent a lot of hours going to courses, talking to the world's experts, kind of fine-tuning your techniques and doing a bunch of stuff like that. So it's not really as simple as, hey, come on in, let's do some veneer.
You are absolutely right. And continuing education is a huge part of that.
Yeah, maybe we'll talk a little bit more about that on the other side. Again, this is Tooth Talk. I'm your host, Dr. Doug Heller, along with my co-host, Dr. Ken Versman. And tonight's very, very, very special guest, Dr. Deborah Deeg.
Advertisement for your business than a well-executed sign. A great sign tells a story, one we understand just by looking at it. Are you selling fun and relaxation? Are quality and integrity the top priorities? Or do you need to build trust and confidence? You may have invested in a great logo with great colors, but there is a visual language beyond color. It tells a richer story, and that language is dimension. Don't just tell people who you are. Show them who you are with 3D letters, layers, sculpted elements, textures, or metal finishes. We make 3D signs that tell a memorable story about you. Visit our website at big3dproductions.com to see the best 3D signs in the USA. That's big, the number 3, dproductions.com. Or call us at 303-646-2500. What story does your sign tell about you?
Hey, this is Chuck. I recently purchased a new travel trailer found on trailerbroker.com, and woo-wee, did I get me a deal. I shopped around a lot, didn't know much about trailers, but the kind folks there at trailerbroker.com helped me find the perfect bunkhouse to meet my family's needs. Not to mention, they saved me thousands from what I was told was a special deal. Check out my friends at Trailer Broker today at trailerbroker.com.
No easy way to face criminal charges. The Frankfurt Law Office can help. With over 20 years of collective experience, the Frankfurt Law Office is capable of handling any legal situation. Contact them today for a free confidential consultation at 303-830-0090. That's 303-830-0090. Or visit them at frankfurtlawoffices.com. When the long arm of the law reaches out for you, fight back with the Frankfurt Law Office.
Fresh, it's cutting edge. This is Velocity Radio.
Welcome back to Tooth Talk, where we talk about the tooth, the whole tooth, and nothing but the tooth. I'm your host, Dr. Doug Heller, along with my partner, Dr. Ken Versman. We're two periodontists in the Denver Aurora area. Phone number 303-755-4500, our website www.periodontalhealth.com. Our special guest tonight, Dr. Deborah Deeg, one of the finest restorative dentists in the entire metropolitan area, practices in Aurora. 303-690-6662 is her phone number. And Kenny, before the break, we were talking a little bit about some cosmetic dentistry stuff with Deborah, and let's get back to a little bit of that. You mentioned one of the things that could help a smile, which is pretty simple, maybe bleaching. But the big question, Deborah, is does it always work? When does it work? Is it effective? Is it something I should be looking into? And who should do it?
Right. Well, bleaching is effective for some people. The people that it's most effective for are young people with the color yellow in their teeth. And bleaching really, really works great for them. There are certain colors or stains that are difficult to bleach out. Brown stains or gray stains or stains from taking certain medications as a child are very difficult to remove. And then those teeth are better treated with veneers or crowns. But the active ingredient in most bleaching systems is carbamyl peroxide. And our patients are fitted for custom trays, and then they take those trays home and with a supply of bleach to use at night. And some patients reach their desired color in a week, and others may take up to a month. For those patients, it's amazing. It makes a real immediate difference.
Well, what's the difference between the doctor-prescribed bleaching and some of the remedies or therapies that people can go into a drugstore and just buy over-the-counter?
Usually it's the strength of the chemical. Usually it's the strength of the carbamyl peroxide. Some of the over-the-counter strips really do work well for people, and I have seen a lot of change in color of teeth. It's just that the carbamyl peroxide and the bleaching systems that we can prescribe are stronger, they're more effective, they work more quickly, and you get a more predictable and, I would say, a better result.
Well, you know, there's so many people out there, and it's sad. It's very sad, who are so afraid to go to the dentist, they don't go. So how do you help your patients overcome that anxiety?
Well, I think that many patients are traumatized as children, and they associate dentistry with pain. And every time they see a dentist, they have treatment without explanation. And so, again, for our fearful patients, I think that that initial exam is critical. It's an appointment just to talk. There's no drill. There's no needle. There's no pain. We just get to know each other before any treatment is started. And then the other thing that I think is really great about our office is our staff. We have surrounded ourselves with the nicest women in town. They're kind and they're pleasant, and they'll hold our patients' hands or they'll bring them a pillow or whatever it takes to make our patients feel comfortable. And then we always start with a very short, simple appointment so that we develop that confidence so that our patients get to know us and we get to know our patients. And then for our really fearful patients, we offer nitrous oxide, and we can also prescribe a relaxant to take before their appointment.
And what is nitrous oxide?
Well, it's known as laughing gas. So, and what that does is we just let the patients breathe that, and it just causes a sense of relaxation. Some call it a sense of euphoria. And it's completely reversible. The patient is awake. The patient is not put to sleep. But it really does help patients relax.
That's pretty good. We've used that in our office as well. It's a little harder to use than some of the other techniques, but I think it's a valuable approach.
It is. I think it is.
And particularly on those that are very fearful. But I think it goes back really, Deb, to who you are as a person. And because I don't really know that many people that are as good at communicators with their patients as you. And I'm not just saying that because you're here, but it's really kind of true. And I said that at the beginning of the show, and that's what kind of makes you and your brother very special and your practice very special, because people know that you're looking out for their best interest, number one. And I think that's one of the things that makes your practice such a success.
We're very lucky. We've been, I don't think you can look at a practice where you've been in practice for 32 years and patients have trusted you. You know, I was 28 years old when I started, and our patients trusted me, and, they took a chance, and I just feel like it's my responsibility to treat them with as much kindness and care and respect and technical excellence as I can, and it seems to work out.
Yeah, and I've seen some of the patients that started with you 28, 30 years ago, and they're still there. And not only are they there, but they've told me that their kids saw you, and I think there's a few of them that now their grandkids are seeing.
Oh, yes. We have patients with four. We've had a family in the practice the other day. There were four generations, the grandparents, the parents, the children, and now the grandkids. It's been a remarkable ride.
Well, speaking of seeing Dr. D, Doug, maybe Deborah, again, you would repeat your address and your phone number so people know how to get a hold of you.
Oh, sure. We're in Aurora, and we're close to the intersection of Hamden and Chambers. Our address is 14991 East Hamden Avenue, and our phone number is 303-690-6662.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Now, I was going to say, Deborah, that as periodontists, Doug and I, we have the opportunity to work with your brother, Miles, and yourself, and it's a real honor. How do you go about choosing the different specialists that you want to refer your patients to and work with?
Well, I've been doing this, as I said, a very long time, and I've practiced in the same building in Aurora for 32 years. So I have worked with many, many, many specialists over these years, and now I just work with a handful. I have wonderful clinicians that I work with, and you two are two of the very, very best. But my first criteria is clinical excellence, and the reason that I work with you and Doug is because you are technically superb. Implant surgery and perio surgery has to be exact, and your attention to detail allows my case to be successful, allows the patient's case to be successful. Clinical excellence, first of all, but I also want a specialist with a kind heart and an empathetic nature because, you know, surgery is scary for patients. They can be tender afterwards, and I want my specialist to acknowledge that. And, you know, my patients would go any place that I referred them. If I told them that I wanted to go to Houston, Texas to see a periodontist, they'd go. But they know I'm a perfectionist, and they know that I would only send them to a perfectionist. So luckily, I have your office as well as a really fine oral surgeon and a root canal specialist and an orthodontist who are all gifted clinicians as well as really nice people.
Well, Deb, I like that answer so much. I'd like to ask you that question over and over again.
That's the truth.
You know what? She had the right answer, didn't she?
Hey, you know, I thought your answer was great. And it really is a pleasure to work with you. In the remaining minutes, I want to talk a little bit about things outside of dentistry because you may be a freak of nature. I don't know anybody. I may know one. I've grew up in Colorado my whole life. I'm a native of Denver, Colorado. And I only know two people that have climbed all the 14ers. So how do you, and that's not all you've climbed. I'm sure you've climbed a certain number of the 13ers, which I hear are even harder than the 14ers. So how do you have the time? How do you have the energy to do all those things? And what are some of your other passions?
Well, you know, Doug, my grandmother was from Leadville, and my mother grew up in Victor, Colorado, and I think there might be something about the altitude gene, but I
never even heard of it. Where is Victor?
By Cripple Creek.
Oh, yeah. So
I joined the Colorado Mountain Club, about 18 years ago, and joined a group called the Basic Mountaineering School, and at that time I had climbed numerous 14ers by myself. I love to climb. I love to be outside. I love the outdoors. But I met climbing partners in that class who really love to climb. And one of those people in my class in my basic mountaineering school has remained my climbing partner for 18 years. And last year, he completed the top 150 peaks, and I've climbed many of those with him. I was on his climb when he completed his last 14er. He was definitely on my climb when I completed my last one. That was a huge accomplishment. And my number, my Colorado Mountain Club number, was 1050. I was the 1,050th person to climb all the 14ers. And we do continue to climb. We're getting ready for a big backpack. I leave next Wednesday. And it's thrilling for me. It's a very spiritual experience. I definitely believe when I'm on top of a peak and I'm looking out at that view that there's something greater than we are. It's a very, very spiritual moment.
And if you're climbing a week, how many days?
It will be, this one will be a shorter one. This will be a 5-day climb, about 4 passes, a lot of elevation, about 7,500 feet in elevation, a big, huge backpack, and it'll be great to be out for that long.
Does that mean freeze-dried food?
We do take freeze-dried food, but we also splurge a little bit, and sometimes we take out a couple apples so that we can throw in a couple beers.
You know, Doug, we could probably climb halfway up if we had some Sherpas helping us those big backpacks.
Yeah, so training-wise, do you have to do anything to train, or are you just naturally gifted?
Oh no, I'm not naturally gifted at all. And but we do. My climbing partner and I do try to get out, and we're always talking about elevation. You know, how many feet do we need to get today? Where do we need to start? We try to camp in the car at, you know, above 11,000 feet if we can, so that we can, you know, get accustomed to the altitude. And we try to climb frequently together. It just helps you stay in shape. I used to be able to be a weekend warrior, but those were in the early days.
Any mishaps, any scary moments?
Oh, my Lord, there's always a scary moment when you're climbing a high peak. And I've just been remarkably fortunate to not have any bad accidents. We've had some wonderful times, and I hope for many more.
Do you ever pack a fishing rod with you?
Every single time.
Every time.
I do love to fish, and this trip coming up should be particularly wonderful. We'll be at Geneva Lake, and we'll be fishing the Crystal River and a few peaks, a few creeks around Aspen as well.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe you'll hit the Roaring Fork or Soper's Creek.
Soper's Creek, exactly.
Yeah, I hear that's a good one. And any other hobbies?
Oh, yes. You know, I'm married, and my husband and I, Fred and I, really do like to play golf. I'm an absolutely terrible golfer, but I do enjoy going. And we love to mountain bike. Just enjoy that so much. We have two dogs and a beautiful piece of property in Conifer, and both of us like getting out and working on that property together.
Yeah, I mean, that you're up in the mountains every day.
Every day.
Hey, Doug, before we close the show, how about a shout-out to Barb Marcellus, our office manager, who's a beginning golfer and got a hole-in-one over the July 4th holiday.
Congratulations, Barb.
Yeah, that's pretty amazing.
And another shout-out to Big Daddy Sean in the box, who's running the show tonight. And probably the last and the biggest shout-out for our guest, Dr. Deborah Deeg, who did an awesome job tonight. And if you need a dentist, she's the one you ought to see.
You know, and she's been a perfect guest, and you know why, don't you, Doug?
Why is that, Kenny?
Because not only does she have a face for radio, but she has a face for television.
Hey, all
thank
right.
you so much, Kenny. And thank you both so very much for inviting me. I have really enjoyed it.
Yeah,
well, we've loved having you, and I know our audience has thoroughly not only enjoyed the conversation, but also learned a tremendous amount about what dentistry has to offer in the modern age. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Ken.
Yeah, see you all next time on Tooth Talk.